Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
The Red Zone Special and Kansas City Chiefs pregame coverage continues here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe back in the building. Marco Marquez on the other side of the glass. Maybe the best name that this station has. I was just sort of thinking that as I was getting ready to introduce us both, and I'm Joshua Briscoe. It's just all that's just a bunch of mouth sounds. Marco Marquez, you sound like a Formula One racer is what you sound like, Marco.
Believe it or not, there is a Formula One racer with my name.
That makes sense. Maybe I was filing that away somewhere.
Maybe.
I do believe it.
Have you ever Googled yourself? Because that's
I will never admit to that on the radio. Oh, yeah, many times. Many, many times.
No, that's all right. That's how I found out who he was.
I occasionally will go to see now. I've got enough bylines in enough places that I can knock out the first page of Google more or less, and it's really does wonders for my fragile self-esteem. Even for me though, this show will not predominantly be about myself today because we have two conference championship games, and they're both coming to you right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, truly your home for the NFL in Kansas City. That's always been true, but never more so than today. And I got to tell you, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but I think there is a chance that today is going to be, I'm going to say this with a little bit of confidence, I think there is a legitimate chance that today is going to be one of the most memorable and perhaps important days in NFL history. We really have that potential today. And maybe it won't be, you know, the number one on that particular medal stand. Maybe these two games both flame out for different reasons today. But even if that were to happen, even if both of these games ended in blowouts, the results themselves would be tremendously impactful for what the next 5 and 10 years will look like in this wonderful, wonderful sport. We're going to spend 95% of this show this morning. I'm here till 11, and then I'll hand it over to the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show. Siren Petro and Mark Boerichter and Curtis Siebold and the gang, they will all be saddling up here starting at 11, and then we'll have both conference championship games, and the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show will air again at 2 over on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM, and we're going to just take you up to kickoff. If you want to get taken to kickoff of the NFC championship game, stay right here. If you want to go all the way up to Chiefs-Bills, you can flip over to ESPN Kansas City during the NFC championship game. But we'll spend 95% of today's show on Chiefs-Bills, and 90% of that will be on the Chiefs side of things. But these two games today could almost not be more interesting. You have, you know, Tom Brady's first year in Tampa, but he is in the NFC Championship game going up against one of his fellow greatest quarterbacks of this generation. Brady can have the GOAT title. He's got every trophy you could possibly ask for. But I think if you're going to ask a large swath of NFL experts, all right, who's the most accomplished? Who's the greatest in that sense? It's absolutely Brady. If you were to say, who is the most talented quarterback the NFL has ever seen? I think I would have made an argument for Aaron Rodgers until approximately 2 years ago, and then my belief in Rodgers being number one there has only waned since then. But I'll tell you this, as much as I think Patrick Mahomes may end up besting each of their titles in the years to come, Mahomes hasn't been here long enough to take it from Aaron Rodgers just yet. I don't think that's unfair, even though, again, my bet would certainly be that we will look back at Patrick Mahomes in 20 years as being truly the greatest in terms of what he could do on a football field, and hopefully the greatest in terms of holding up trophies. But whenever you look at the matchups today, that's the NFC side. The NFC side is the most accomplished versus arguably the most talented, and they're both towards the end of their careers. I don't think either of them retire after today's game or after the Super Bowl, but you can see the end, and it's a little, probably a little closer for Tom Brady. I don't know how long Aaron Rodgers is going to play. He's had a real resurgence this year. Tom Brady has had a resurgence on a new team. It just almost could not be a juicier matchup. And the only reason I say almost is because the AFC side may have the better quarterback matchup today. You get the greatest thing that has entered the sport over the last, I mean, maybe over the last decade in Patrick Mahomes. I think I actually probably would make that argument. And you have him going up against Josh Allen, who took this step this year that was really hard to see coming if you were anything other than the world's biggest Josh Allen backer as of last year. You think back to the playoff game against the Texans. I mean, that game was an absolute blast to watch, but if you were a Bills fan, it had to be infuriating because Josh Allen's excellence ended up being offset by his recklessness. Well, this year, he has removed the recklessness from the conversation and is only excellent. It's a step that is so hard to see a quarterback make and make relatively early in his career, which is the case for Josh Allen. Those are the two guys going head-to-head on the AFC side, and I just, seriously, I could not be more excited to watch both of these games, and honestly, selfishly, I'm so glad that Chiefs-Bills is the closer because it means we can watch the NFC game here where we really may see history being made in one form or another. In fact, it's nearly a lock. And then also, the worst case scenario, in my humble opinion, for a Super Bowl is Josh Allen versus Tom Brady. Yeah, all right. No, I'll take that, actually. That still sounds pretty good. That might be my fourth of the dessert choices, but it still sounds all right to me. And honestly, if it's Chiefs versus Bucks, I would be perfectly okay with it. I think Mahomes Rodgers, I think the State Farm Bowl is the thing that I'm going to be rooting for. But if you gave Patrick Mahomes another chance to stake his claim and to vanquish Tom Brady once and for all, I would also not mind that. So that's what's on the line today. Those are the two games that we're looking ahead to, and both games you can hear right here on Sports Radio 810. All of our coverage has been provided by, been brought to you by a series of sponsors who have done excellent work to help us bring you 24 hours of NFL coverage here on Sports Radio 810. Always start off with CBD American Shaman. You can come on into your local Shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD because everything is better with the feather. Also brought to you by Anthony Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, the technicians you can leave your house keys with online at anthonyphc.com, and brought to you by Victory Chevrolet. At Victory, we sell them all. Let's talk about the news of the morning. There was a series of 7 a.m. Sunday morning news dumps that I was not expecting, but I was prepared for an early morning. I'm prepared for a late night. I woke up, though, looked at my phone, and had already seen a couple of push notifications show up from both Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport of ESPN and NFL Network, respectively. And we got news all across the board on the Chiefs. The first thing that caught my eye, and I'm going to read a sizable chunk of a report here from Ian Rappaport. It was revolving around Patrick Mahomes' toe. Now, he spent the entire week on the injury report with concussion / toe. Obviously, we talked over and over and over and over and over and over again about the concussion protocol, his place in it and everything, because, you know, his toe could have been amputated this week, and I feel like there was still a 95% chance that he would have played in this game. He needed to clear the concussion protocol to actually be able to play today. So once that was cleared, I think, at least I'll admit to doing this myself, kind of throttle back a little bit, say, all right, we're good to go, exhale, game on. We get this report from Ian Rappaport this morning that says that Mahomes has officially been diagnosed with a turf toe and that he's going to be evaluated. And at this point, this doesn't seem likely, but he will be reevaluated, Rappaport says, for surgery this offseason. Now, I mean, a toe injury and an offseason surgery, there are way, way, way more concerning things that you could see coming down the pike for any NFL player. It's a contact sport with a bunch of different weird ways you can hurt yourself, including, you know, jamming your toe, essentially. But listen to this from Rappaport, because I think even if this doesn't come to fruition and doesn't really limit Mahomes today, which it sounds like it may, I think this is extremely noteworthy. Sources say Mahomes was diagnosed with turf toe in his left foot following the divisional round win over the Cleveland Browns, an injury that limited his effectiveness on the field last week and during practice this week. Mahomes currently has no injury status and took almost all of the reps during the cleared protocol. His injury status was removed, and he'll play versus the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship game. Of the toe, Mahomes said the next day was very sore, and every single day since then it's gotten a lot better. As of now, there is not necessarily a belief that Mahomes will need surgery on the plantar plate injury. However, a source says that he'll be reevaluated following the season by a foot specialist to determine if he'll need surgery. Mahomes suffered no ill effects or symptoms from being in the concussion protocol, and the toe was deemed a bigger issue, from Ian Rappaport there on NFL.com. I'm as thrilled as you are that the concussion injury issue, whatever, has provided no ill effects or symptoms, and everything there seems fine. But I here's the thing. Here's what I can't help. If I'm going to be an alarmist for a second, and I'm not really a Patrick Mahomes alarmist very often, because I think it would have made me right a grand total of like one time. So I'm not leading you to panic. At least I hope not. But the one thing that I can't help but think back to is the series of offensive struggles the Chiefs had. Really, the only time in the Mahomes era was whenever Mahomes was working on his essentially busted ankle, and they had some of their worst outputs of the year. I think back to that Colts game often. The ankle injury issue ended up kind of getting phased out with the kneecap that came not that long after. And so he got to essentially rest up the ankle while also healing the kneecap later on last season. But there is something to, and I don't think these things are perfectly equatable, but that's the thing I think of. It's the best, most close example I think we have of what Mahomes has looked like with a foot or toe limitation, ankle, etc. I do worry a little bit. Listen, I mean, the idea that Mahomes somehow doesn't still excel in the pocket is absolute garbage that has been disproven now 1,000 times over the last several years. Mahomes could literally put his feet in cement and would still be like a top three quarterback. He would not be the worst quarterback playing this weekend if his feet could not move. But one of the things that has made him so absolutely unstoppable is the fact that he does have that scramble on, you know, third and 12 that picks up a first down that you don't expect. He does have that ability to roll literally anywhere behind the line of scrimmage and then throw the ball literally anywhere else. That just does not exist, has never existed in the sport in this way. And he still did some things on that foot against the Browns. The quote saying that the next day it hurt a lot means, you know, the adrenaline was helping things out day of. And my guess is that Patrick Mahomes is going to get whatever shots or whatever, anything he could possibly, whatever extra padding in that shoe. Wouldn't surprise me one bit if we got a pregame sideline hit of whoever the sideline reporter is saying that actually, and today Mahomes is wearing some extra padding in his toe, or maybe the report will be he's not wearing extra padding because he doesn't want to wear a bigger shoe today or whatever. I don't know. I think there's a pretty good chance we'll get something to that end. Obviously, right now what you're talking about is, hey, Pat, how do we get your toe to a place that you're not thinking about it at all during the game? Because if we can get you through this game without thinking about your toe, we're going to go to the Super Bowl, and then you're going to have 2 weeks to do nothing but just put that toe in a bucket of ice water. And also, he was practicing this week. His limitations were, as far as I can tell, purely because of concussion protocol steps. They were essentially, again, glorified walkthroughs over the course of the week. So I'm not sure how often he was out there really trucking on that foot. But it's something to know, and it's something that got reported today, that it is turf toe, and that it's a concern. It's something to be aware of as this game gets closer. My hope above hope is that it is something we do not have to think about in game. If, you know, it gets stepped on or something, then maybe we start back over from square one. I do not know what to ultimately expect, but there's the information and something that I think is very much worth paying attention to, because it's about Patrick Mahomes. It's his health, and you have some of those issues that literally start at the toe, work their way up and start impacting the game in a lot of different ways. I feel okay at this point. I'm not panicking. I don't want to lead you to panicking, but I did not expect to see that report this morning, to be honest. And we got it. So
they were saving it for today, it seems like.
Yeah.
Going through.
Yeah, that's actually a good point and a weird element of it. Why this morning?
Yeah.
Has Rappaport been sitting on that for a week? I mean, I'd heard people suggest turf toe, but I don't think it had ever been affirmatively reported anywhere.
Maybe, like, him and Scheffner were both, like, waiting, like, which one of you is going to push the red button?
Right. or I don't know, maybe there was a little agreement behind the scenes of, like, yeah, we'll give you this information, but I swear, if you put it out there before Sunday morning, I'll never talk to you again. Signed BV. Who is that? Could be anybody. Could be Barry... Veach. I couldn't think
Brother
of another Veach. Name that started with a V.
And, you know, it's funny. You go on Twitter. It's like back to the Eric Berry days when his ankle. People were like, "Oh, I'll give it to him today. I'll give it to him now." People are on there like, "I need to cut off my toe and give it to Mahomes."
Day to day, God, the Eric. That's also, you know, recently Andy Reid mentioned the same thing from Mitch Schwartz. Day to day, day to day, day to day. Mercifully, I think Patrick Mahomes is better off than day to day. And also, I believe his spirit is in it. Something that the Eric Berry thing. We should. I don't want to go back to those days. Were dark, man.
Yeah.
Those were some tough times.
all the just waiting, just getting back, gets out there, re-injures.
Watch, and then it's just Gronk. Season's over. Oh well, that was fun. That game was on NFL Network this week at some point during Almost Entirely Sports, and we were doing the show, and I can't help but look at it, and I thought that I was at a place where that game could no longer hurt me, and I was wrong. It still stinks because it's not like some of the Alex Smith Chiefs playoff losses, or even pre-Alex Smith Chiefs playoff losses. That one could have been like, we could be talking about a three-peat right now. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it changed the wave of like the what their dynasty resume looks like.
Patrick Mahomes could have never not won the Super Bowl through the first 3 years of his NFL career if they would have beaten the Patriots and then the Rams, and if they win today and then again in 2 weeks. What could have been? Instead, we have to settle for how big a jerks do we sound like to anybody else right now? Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has never not played in an AFC championship game, which is bonkers.
The Chiefs, who had never hosted an AFC championship game, now going to be hosting their third in a row.
Yeah, we should probably let that go.
It's all right. No, it's meant you know, it's for the fans before us, you know.
Yeah.
All the heartbreak that they had to go through.
I'm not selfish. You're selfish. Other people?
No.
Here's more news, by the way. Rappaport just tweeted again. Is this the same clip we tweeted earlier? Yeah, I think it's fine. Patrick Mahomes is out of the concussion protocol, but turf toe is a legitimate issue. He'll see a specialist after the season to determine if he needs surgery. That's not necessarily new information. I also just got a text, and I'm going to out the person who texted me. Sorry in advance, Harold Koontz. Fox 4. Join us this week on Almost Entirely Sports. Great, great conversation looking ahead to this game with Harold. If you want to check it out, go search for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts, or go to aes.show. He texted me, "Breathe, buddy," and then said, "LOL." Clearly, he's cackling. Harold, that's what the commercial breaks are for. The segments are for me talking, and then the commercial breaks are for me to inhale again. But if you're ever like in studio, Marco can attest to this today. At like 9:01, I take a huge breath in, like David Blaine doing a magic trick. And the next 20 minutes, I only exhale and just make noises. Football words.
He can't control what comes out.
And I absolutely can't. The dump button is extremely important just because sometimes I get excited. Sometimes I just get so bleeping excited. Here's more news today, by the way, more news that directly impacts this game. We'll know more, obviously, whenever the inactives come out and all of that, but this could have also been when we started the show today. There's been so much going on. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, both Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter tweeted that they both expect rookie running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire to return to the field today. He had that gnarly ankle hip injury that whenever he went down and came back up, everybody was afraid of knee ligaments and whatnot. The early reports were not definite, so you got a little bit of optimism there. Well, and also, Darrell Williams has had a couple of pretty nice efforts. We didn't see Le'Veon Bell last week almost at all. That will make more sense momentarily as well. But both Rappaport and Schefter say the Chiefs expect Clyde Edwards-Helaire to make his return today, which is obviously great news, even more so with the news that Le'Veon Bell is not expected to play. That is probably part of the reason that that might be part of the answer to so many people, the question that so many people are asking, which is, why haven't we seen more of Le'Veon Bell? Listen, my personal philosophy is that once you get running backs at an NFL level, they are all really good at that job, and the difference from one to the other is not going to be as impactful as it would be at most other positions. It's so dependent on the scheme and the blocking, etc. This show today is not going to be a running backs don't matter show. I'm not going to drive us down there for the next hour and a half. But I think it's why we've seen Darrell Williams look good in this system, and I actually like Darrell Williams. I've always liked Darrell Williams. That's me patting myself on the back. But like, that undrafted running back, I thought he'd work out.
You know, the fact that we didn't see Darwin Thompson last week too much.
Yeah, also a little bit confusing because it seems like Bell would have been severely limited. And I guess we would have probably seen Darwin if Darrell had needed some time off the field at any point. But Le'Veon Bell, I think, had like two carries last week or something. And he's been dealing with injuries the last several weeks. So it sounds like Bell will almost certainly not end up playing today. Clyde should return. I imagine that Clyde and Darrell will get almost all the work. Darwin Thompson should be active. Le'Veon Bell probably will not be, according to Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter. Beyond that, Sammy Watkins, who was listed as questionable, along with Edwards-Helaire and Bell, by the way. All three of those guys were listed as questionable. It sounds like right now Sammy Watkins is not expected to play today. I saw on one of the bottom third graphics on NFL Network or ESPN, one of the two listed him as a long shot. Schefter tweeted that Watkins will be tested pregame, but, quote, don't sound optimistic he will play today. Meaning the Chiefs don't sound optimistic that he will play today. Rappaport tweeted that he'll be a game-time decision with his calf issue. A couple of weeks ago, there was a report from Pro Football Talk, which may be, I don't know, grain of salt, whatever, that the calf injury that Watkins suffered and then just walked straight off into the locker room, we haven't seen him again since then, was not considered serious. He was, he had the whole Week 17 essentially a bye week and then the first round bye and then the Browns game. Now it sounds like he's probably not going to play today, which is, unfortunate. That I was excited to see this offense at theoretically full health and full capacity this late in the season. That was sort of the advantage of that first round bye, the advantage of not having to play in week 17. Obviously, everyone who did get a chance to rest those 2 weeks certainly benefited from it. But one of the guys that I would have put at the top of that list would have been Sammy Watkins, and it sounds like he's not likely to play today either. We'll talk more about the impact of Watkins not playing, what the Chiefs will need to do in his absence on the other side of the break. Plus, I want to hear from Patrick Mahomes and Steve Spagnuolo. Got sound from both of them that I think will be interesting in previewing today's game. Just a ton to talk about over the next hour and a half here on the Red Zone Special with me, Joshua Briscoe, for these couple hours. Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show will start at 11. This show, though, is brought to you by Victory Chevrolet, Anthony Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, and CBD American Shaman. Welcome back into the Red Zone Special here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Marco Marquez hitting the buttons. God, it feels good to say your name. Where's the accent supposed to be in Marquez? Is it Marquez or is it Marquez?
I don't know. I don't think there is an
accent. It's your name. Where do I stress? Which syllable do I stress?
The U.
Marquez. Marquez.
I get Marquez. Someone called me Quez one time.
Not bad. Still not a bad nickname. How do you pronounce your own last name?
Marquez.
Marquez. So Marquez. It's a Kez.
So the Q maybe.
I do like really emphasizing Mark twice. Marco Marquez, but Marquez also works. It's a great name regardless. Great job by your parents, I guess. I don't know. What's your middle name?
Antonio. I was supposed to be it's like Mark Anthony, but Marco Antonio.
Marco Antonio Marquez is also really powerful.
Shout out to Renee, Mama Renee. The name, she gave me the name, so there you go.
Good job, Marco's mom Renee. My girlfriend's name is Renee, so you said shout out Renee, and I was like, what does she have to do with that? Regardless, great work by you and your family. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I'm Joshua Briscoe. My name's fine, but it's not that. This is the Red Zone Special here on Sports Radio 810, brought to you by CBD American Shaman, Anthony Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, and Victory Chevrolet. All sorts of news. You can take that if you need to first, Marco. We'll get to the audio in a second. I've got a call on the back door line, so you can take the call. We'll get to the audio in a minute. I'll give you the news of the day again, though. Patrick Mahomes has been diagnosed with a turf toe, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. They said that was a bigger issue this week than the concussion protocol was. It'll be interesting to see if that does, in fact, limit him in some or any form today. Not 100% sure where this is going to end up leading Mahomes, where it's going to end up leading the Chiefs, but something certainly to keep an eye on, just the factor that will play in today's game. Mahomes is at his best whenever his mobility is an option. Again, to be incredibly clear about this, he does not need to be out of the pocket to be exceptional. That's something that I think I'm preaching to the choir too. I would just hate for that to be the thing that anyone takes out of this point of conversation that I'm making. But Mahomes is at his best whenever rolling out and throwing on the move is an option, whenever scrambling up through the pocket is an option. Keep an eye on that today. Plus, just the mechanics even of how your feet are feeling whenever you're planting your feet and just throwing your body through the process of the throw, just in the pocket. Obviously, also, the feet matter there a ton. So it'll be really interesting to see what exactly that ends up looking like. But maybe even bigger news, depending on exactly how much that does impact Mahomes. Le'Veon Bell and wide receiver Sammy Watkins are both not expected to play as of right now. It sounds like rookie running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire will make his return from the hip/leg/ankle injury that he suffered a few weeks back. So the rest has paid off for Clyde. It really looked like that could have been a season-ending injury at the time. So the fact that he is able to be back for the AFC Championship game is obviously great, even just to be able to supplement Darrell Williams, depending on where exactly Clyde is at right now. Hard to say because he hasn't played in a while and maybe he still has a limited number of snaps, but being able to have him step in, I'm sure the Chiefs have a little more faith in him right now than they do Darwin Thompson, who we saw a lot of in Week 17, but not a lot of anywhere else this year. But to have Clyde and Darrell and even, again, Darwin Thompson all as a part of that backfield, especially with Le'Veon Bell likely not playing today, you want to have numbers at the running back position at the very least, and it sounds like the Chiefs will today with the return of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, likely without Le'Veon Bell. Sammy Watkins is probably the most interesting of these, though, for me, because it seemed like he was on his way back. And listen, for me to do another radio segment on, you know, Sammy Watkins' soft tissue injury would be a bit redundant. I mean, it's just, and I really don't even mean that facetiously, like, and certainly not mean-spiritedly. It's just something the dude's dealt with his entire career, including all of his time here in Kansas City. It's just part of the conversation. And I was very hopeful that we would get to see the Chiefs at actual full offensive strength today. And it doesn't seem like we're going to, with these reports on Watkins being a sort of an unlikely game time decision is the best way that I could sort of summarize it right now, what we've seen from Rappaport and Schefter both on the topic. But this is something I'm going to just steal from Seth Kaiser, our friend from The Athletic and the Chief of the North newsletter, something that I do all the time. His assessment of what the offense is like without Sammy Watkins, I really think it's probably twofold, but he brought something up this week that I thought was really worthwhile. If you don't have Sammy Watkins, you really have one, maybe two big plays that you have to find somewhere else. And Seth's point was, you know, go look at the plays from the playoffs last year, the long bombs, both in the AFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl. They were kind of these game-breaking plays where Sammy Watkins paid for his contract in those moments because he made those enormous plays. Replacing one or two big plays doesn't sound impossible. It's not impossible. But it isn't quite as easy as having anyone step into that role and finding someone who can win that matchup that makes a defense pay for whatever it is that they left you open there for. That is maybe the thing that Sammy Watkins has been best at in this offense. And we have seen DeMarcus Robinson do that to defenses a decent handful of times, not with total consistency, obviously, but a pretty good number of times. And we've seen Mecole Hardman do it a couple times, even though I think most of his biggest plays have been in plays designed for him in like a more sort of direct way. But the other element about Sammy Watkins, and this is what ultimately turns into big plays, I would argue, and I think Seth would probably agree with this in large part, if not completely. I never assume that Seth will completely agree with anything that I say, because I've known him for too long to ever think that's going to happen. But mostly, you as a defense have literally no choice but to pay the utmost respect to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, which means almost always, in some form or another, without getting too granular, in some form or another, you almost always have two guys on your defense who need to be doing, who their first responsibility is Tyreek Hill, and two guys with their first responsibility is Travis Kelce. Now, maybe that's somebody just trying to crack Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce off the line, and then someone else is there in coverage, and it's not truly one-on-one, whatever. Maybe for Tyreek Hill, it's just a safety who is expecting to need to go close in on Tyreek Hill, but they won't necessarily... They're not going to double him like a gunner on a punt necessarily. Again, lots of different ways you can meet that end goal. I digress. Whenever you're paying that kind of attention, in whatever form, whenever you're paying that kind of attention to Hill and Watkins, or excuse me, to Hill and Kelce, which you absolutely have to do, other guys end up in single coverage, in one-on-one matchups. And depending on how you structure that, DeMarcus Robinson is not going to win every one-on-one matchup. I mean, that's just, it's just true. I mean, no one's going to win every one-on-one. You know what I mean. DeMarcus Robinson is not going to continually punish defenses for challenging him in a traditional sort of man matchup or even making him work in the spots of a zone that he's not going to be able to exploit as much as those other guys would. But he can win it sometimes. And what's going to matter today, supposedly without Sammy Watkins, and frankly what's probably going to happen next year, is you need to have a guy that can win those matchups often enough to really capitalize on one or two a game, that can really crack it open, and you can say, you thought you were going to get away with paying all this attention to our two most explosive, unstoppable pieces here, well, then we're going to go to door number three, and we're going to see what's available in there. If that's the way that a defense is playing you, you need to be able to capitalize on that opportunity. And that's something that Sammy Watkins has been really, 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 really good at whenever he's been on the field. It just feels like there have been so many times he hasn't been out there to capitalize on it that now we're stuck in this sort of purgatory once again with Watkins. So that's something to keep an eye on. I think the running back situation should be all right as long as Edwards-Helaire is healthy enough to take 30 or 40% of the snaps, maybe. If he's able to do that in a way that he looks like himself, Daryl Williams can take the majority even, and that would be fine with me. Darwin can get mixed in as long as he doesn't fumble. Things will be fine there. Watkins is really interesting, and the idea that maybe Patrick Mahomes' toe will be an issue is going to be interesting. Let's play that one first, Marco. Let's go to Patrick Mahomes talking about his toe. He spoke to the media on Friday. The big news was the concussion clearance, but now we're spending a little more time on what exactly that turf toe could mean for this game. Here's what Mahomes said about it on Friday.
It's felt a lot better. I mean, the next day was very sore, and then every single day since then has gotten a lot better. And it's stuff that you deal with being a football player. You deal with injuries, and luckily enough for me, it wasn't as bad as it looked, and it felt that day of and that day after.
So hopefully it felt really bad that day and the day after, and he's convinced at this point that it looked worse and felt worse at that time than it ended up being the rest of the week. If it doesn't get reaggravated, maybe it's fine. I don't know what they're going to do to prepare him for that today. We mentioned, are we going to get a padded shoe? Is he going to get a shot into his toe knuckle? I don't know, man. I don't know. But I have to imagine that the Chiefs are acutely aware of the fact that if a bad big toe could end their season, then they're going to do something to try to keep that from being an issue any way they possibly can. The one other thing from Mahomes is whenever he came out and broke the news that he had cleared the concussion protocol, obviously a huge step in getting him out there this weekend.
Yeah, I actually just got out of the protocol. The week has just been a bunch of testing, a bunch of different things just to make sure that I'm good to go and there's no lingering effects and anything like that. But everything's been good, and I've went through what all the three, four different doctors have said, and everything's looked well, and I'm out of it now.
Three or four different doctors. There is a five-step process. Something I'd heard a couple of times on Friday, it was brought up to me by two separate people, had brought up the fact that apparently some NFL teams are more willing to skip through that process, taking a couple steps each day, which it seems reasonable enough. Some of them are light aerobic activity, and the next one is like non-contact football activity. Mahomes was doing non-contact football activity on Wednesday. He was throwing passes, guys were running routes, he was scrambling around on Wednesday. I think he was at least through step three then, but they were really taking it one step at a time. He was able to do all of the sort of, again, the phrase that I think it was Rappaport said, to do some de facto walkthrough practices over the course of the week. He should be good to go, at least concussion-wise, should not be a concern there. Although now, we're spending some time talking about turf toe, which means that it's officially AFC Championship game time, because that's the level that we have boiled it down to now, and I think rightfully so. We may talk a little more about the Bills side of things, also some more audio I'd love to get to as we prepare for the AFC Championship game and also the NFC Championship game, both of them. Yes, the Chiefs game today is here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll have Buccaneers versus Packers, and then we will have Chiefs versus Bills, both on your home for the NFL, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Into the Red Zone special pregame show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Marco Marquez on the other side of the glass. It's all brought to you by Victory Chevrolet, Anthony Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, and CBD American Shaman. We are a little over an hour away from the beginning of the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show with Seren Petro, Mark Boerichter, and Curtis Siebold. But in the meantime, it is me and Marco getting you ready for both conference championship games, both of which you can hear right here on Sports Radio 810 this weekend. Well, today. It is Sunday now. I've been so used to just like trying to get hyped for the upcoming weekend. This week was long, man. it was just a week of concussion protocol and a week of blood veins in the neck and choke holds and reports from Jay Glazer. This week has been a month.
It's been long because it's just been more, you know, constant. Just what's Mahomes going to look like when he goes out there?
100%.
Because I have no doubt he's going to, you know, it's Mahomes. He's going to tough through the injury. But until I see him, like, convert a third down on his feet,
yep,
then I'll feel really good.
Yep. But until that point, it's going to be a little spooky. And that spooky energy has been this entire week. I mean, I feel sort of the fatigue that you feel the day of the Super Bowl, whenever you spent 2 weeks on the same matchup. Except for here, it's not even that I'm exhausted of talking about the return of Matt Milano for the Bills being a really big impact for their defense, which is true. He's been back for a minute now, but he didn't play against the Chiefs back in Week 6. This is information that I have internalized because I have said it out loud 10,000 times this week. But it's really just that the whole conversation really does oftentimes boil down to, where is Patrick Mahomes at? We'll spend more time on the Bills side of things pretty much from this point on throughout the rest of the show. We're looking more at the matchup beyond just the injury updates today. Again, though, I will tell you, because it's a live radio show, Patrick Mahomes is dealing with a turf toe, according to Ian Rappaport. Should be good to go, obviously, but no injury designation today, in fact. But very much worth noting, sounds like Sammy Watkins and Le'Veon Bell are both unlikely to play. Clyde Edwards-Helaire should return. But weirdly enough, I would actually like to go to the special team side of things right now and to play you a clip from Dave Tobe this week. You may say, Josh, why are you playing a clip of Dave Tobe, Chief Special Teams Coordinator and Assistant Head Coach, on the day of the AFC Championship game? What special team storyline could possibly, I don't know, make or break the game on a last-second field goal from theoretically 33 yards out? We've spent a good amount of time this year talking about Harrison Butker, and specifically on short stuff. Missed extra points, missed short field goals have been a storyline. It was mostly towards the beginning of the year, then he really stabilized things for a while, and then twice on Sunday against the Browns, we saw it come back around again, where Butker missed an extra point and then another one of those short field goals. He also made a short field goal. His long shots have all been just perfect bombs. But what is it that's going on those short sort of chip shots that keep going awry? We've heard, I have heard so many people, mostly not even necessarily like in media conversations, but so many fans have been really worried about what's wrong with Harrison Butker. And I get it. That is what that would suggest, that those short issues seem like a larger scale issue. But Dave Tobe talked about the short misses whenever he spoke to the media earlier this week. And you'll hear Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star hop in and kind of ask for a little more detail. It was a good question by Mellinger, a great little follow-up. And then Tobe was quite generous with the detail here. The details on this one are important, and I think it should pretty well change how you think about, you know, Harrison Butker, quote-unquote, being off. Listen to Dave Tobe on that issue.
It was just an operational glitch that we had, you know, with the rotation of the ball. The laces came down in a weird spot. Not one time all year did that happen, or in practice, for that matter. And it happened twice. And both of those kicks, we rotated a different way. It's just an operational glitch that we cleaned it up. And he had a great week of practice, and he was on point this week. So we're good.
Operational glitch is a great term, by the way. I'm going to use that a lot. But do I understand you right? Like the whole... Was the hold that spun the ball the wrong way, or what?
Okay,
what
exactly? Winchester is so good as a snapper. He can count the rotations with his snap, where the laces never appear for him. You know, for okay. The hold. But in this case, the laces appeared. Now there was a combination with the weather and this little bit short. Whatever we did there, we figured it out this week. But the laces showed up to where they were facing Butker, and then. Tommy has to deal with, you know, getting them out of the way, which it's a matter of which way we're going to rotate the ball. So, you know, he rotated, you know, where Butker could see the laces for a longer period of time. That's not what we want to do. So we want to rotate it the opposite way, so it goes away. You know, I didn't want to get real technical with it, but I guess you forced me to it. But that's really what it is. That's why I just said it's an operational thing that we got it ironed out and fixed.
so many things in there I think are so interesting. And again, the reason that it's worth mentioning here today is so you at least can put your anxiety in the right spot. James Winchester can snap the ball where he knows the number of rotations. And I've been told, I mean, that's common throughout the NFL, but that is that seems impossible. But that's the science that it's down to. It seems impossible that could be done where you know how many times the seams are going to go around the ball from the spot of the snap into the hands of the holder. That's crazy. And then it always shows up with the seams in the same spot. That's nuts. But whenever Winchester gives it an extra half turn or whatever, which is still insane to think about, well, then now what does Townsend do with the hold? Where are the seams? Which way does he need to rotate the ball? Because if they're slightly off, you know, maybe you push the ball, and then if it's slightly off the other way, you need to pull it. Well, whatever happened in that moment, I don't have the super slow-mo close-up view, but whatever happened in that moment, the ball ended up with the laces not where they were supposed to be in a perfect situation. Apparently, this happened twice. And then Tommy Townsend did not turn the ball the direction it needed to be turned in. So then Butker kicks it, and you go off the upright, or you miss entirely, or whatever. It sounds like Tobe is pretty confident that won't happen again, and I'm not even sure that that's what happened earlier in the season. He did not say that explicitly, so it sounds kind of like that may have been more specific to what happened against the Browns. But Butker seemed, you know, quote unquote fixed, and then that happened, and all of the panic in the world started again from everybody. I think we should feel pretty good about where they're at the very least. It's a great reminder as to how many moving parts there are in every single element of football. But even just in that one, where only three guys really have an impact on the play unless someone blocks it, right? Just everyone needs to just hold their block, which happens almost every field goal, almost every extra point. They're very, very rarely blocked. As long as they all hold their block, there is the snap, the hold, and the kick. But even whenever you see, you know, the snap hits the holder in the hands, that seems like a good snap. Well, was the ball rotated the number of times they were expecting it to? There is no way to know that in real time. I would have no chance to guess that appropriately every time. Well, the holder got the ball down, so that's a good hold. Well, I don't know. Which direction did he spin the seams if he needed to spin the seams? It's a ridiculously specific detail, but that's the level of detail that actually determined there whether Harrison Butker was going to make or miss that field goal and that extra point. Those are 4 points worth of mistakes there. Like, that is a heavy punishment for getting the number of rotations on the snap wrong, but that's exactly where the Chiefs ended up in that extra point and that missed field goal. And so keeping an eye on that as we go forward is going to be important. And if we see another kick go wide, think about all the different things that are in play there. I'm Josh Briscoe here on the Red Zone Special here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Marco Marquez running the board, hitting all the buttons. We'll have another hour before the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show kicks in, so we'll be back after a break. But it's all brought to you by CBD American Shaman, Anthony Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, and Victory Chevrolet. More Chiefs Bills leading up all the way to kickoff of both games here on Sports Radio 810. We got the NFC Championship game, the AFC Championship game, all here on your home for the NFL, Sports Radio 810.